All right, turn your Bibles with me this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And Thomas Chalmers put me onto this thought this morning, and hope it to be a blessing to you. It was to me. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And let's start reading here at verse number 14. 1 Samuel 16, verse number 14. Saul, if you're not familiar with the Old Testament, Saul was king over Israel before David. David, the giant killer, was the next in line. But Saul was the original king in Israel. And he had great gifts, natural abilities, opportunities, but he had a little bit of a problem. Verse 14, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Saul is, we'll say, beset by an evil spirit. We'll not use the word possessed. Some might argue with us if we gave that designation. But he is beset. He comes under the governing power and influence of an evil spirit. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. His actions were so altered. His conduct was such that those in his presence recognized that he was under the controlling power of an evil spirit. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. Not our subject this morning, but it's quite evident that different types of music affect the human mind, heart, spirit, in different ways. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. He wants this remedy. He wants this solution, this help. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man and a man of war and prudent in matters and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. David sure got a lot to commend him, doesn't he? Amen. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. Still a young lad at the time. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine, a kid, and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him. And he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help me this morning. Be a help to these men, these women who've made the effort to come and be in your house today. I pray, God, that you would minister truth to our hearts and we would receive it and be better for having heard it. We thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Saul has wealth. He has honor. He has power. He has opportunity, but he has a problem. His problem is a spiritual problem. A spirit within him that treats him evilly, a spirit within him that inclines him to work evil. We don't read of Saul murdering or robbing or stealing or committing adultery, but we do read of Saul acting the fool, acting the madman when he comes under the influence of this evil spirit. God, in his grace, has not only taken responsibility for this evil spirit that has come to so plague Saul, because Saul certainly deserved it, if you read the entirety of the narrative. But God in His grace also provided for Saul a way of relief and a way of victory, so that something that was not natural to Saul, or something that was not part of Saul's personal conduct and character, could come alongside him and provide him relief and power and strength and victory, so that Saul was able to say, I am beset. I am acting under the influence of this evil spirit, but thanks be to God, I have something else that is of greater power and of greater influence over my life that can and does subdue this evil spirit within me. And what a blessing for Saul that in these hours of trouble he had some opportunity, had the opportunity provided him by God for victory. Saul was refreshed in his heart and mind. His heart and mind were corrected when he came under the operation of this music. The music from the harp and the blessing of God upon the harp proved to be a greater power in Saul's life than the evil spirit. And so the man could go from normal, maniac, peaceful, hopeful, and it all depended upon which spirit had the prevailing influence and power over Saul at any given time. When he was troubled by the evil spirit within him, it was his duty to call in the harp. He's the king. He doesn't take orders, he gives orders. He's the king. He doesn't let people tell him how to conduct himself. He tells other people how to conduct themselves. So Saul could say, I don't want a harpist. Saul could say, I have a harpist. I don't care to hear the music. I like being a madman. I like acting this way. And everyone around him could whisper quietly, because nobody dares say the obvious part out loud because he's the king. But surely it was a blessing not only to Saul but to everyone around him when he exercised his authority and his power to call in the harp and listen to the music, which altered him, which calmed him, which put him back into his right mind and his proper conduct. We learn from the passage that only by this music could Saul's tranquility be restored. He could take four prescriptions and it wouldn't do the job. He could read a self-help book and it wouldn't do the job. He could try to think positive thoughts and it wouldn't do the job. There was one thing that would settle Saul when he was troubled by this evil spirit, and that was the music from David's harp. Now, he could live without the music, his choice, but it would mean living without peace. He could delay calling for David, but it would only mean that he would suffer needlessly. He could call for the harp at once, if he chose to do so, and have his sanity instantly restored. You say, by the harp, by the harpist, by the Lord, but we can't deny that by his choosing. Because as king, it was up to him to continue to be crazy or to call for the musician. Knowing that this music calmed his troubled soul, the proper course of action would have been to keep the musician present at all times and call for the music each time the foe within him began to do its work. But it seems as though, if you read the full account of his life, it seems as though Saul would have these times when things got so out of hand and so out of control, he knew there's nothing I can do except call in David and his harp, and and things would return to normal. And then somehow Saul would think, well, maybe it wasn't David, maybe it wasn't the harp. David, you can go. I don't need you. If it gets bad enough, I'll call you back in, but for right now, I'm okay. You'd think after a time or two, or three, or four, or five, Saul would have said, you know, David, I'm rich enough to feed the whole kingdom. You don't need to go back to that sheep tending work. Just stay right here. Because I never know what's going to set me off. I never know what's going to plunge me down into the valley of this thing. So why don't you just stay right here close, so there's not this long interval of time between when I start to falter and when I fall and when I bottom out and when I finally realize I need the harp and bring you back in. Why don't you just stay right here? But he didn't seem to make that choice or make that connection. Saul should have made an honest evaluation of his circumstance. He should have listened humbly to those around him who saw the influence of this evil spirit upon him. He should have acted consistently in a way that would keep him sane and sober. He knew that dwelling within him was a foul spirit. Knowing this, he should have hated this spirit within him and the actions it produced enough to consistently take the action he knew would subdue his inner enemy. And yet somehow, he never seemed to see his problem as being as bad, as hurtful as it really was. He only seemed to take it seriously when it had, shall we say, pinned him to the mat and he couldn't do anything for himself. He never anticipated that the spirit in certain seasons and certain times really makes a wreck out of me. When it got really, really bad, he called for the harp. But when it wasn't a total disaster, he just kind of thought he could manage the thing on his own. You say, well, why didn't his counselor say something to him? Not many people respond well to words like, you know, you have a problem. Not many people hear someone say, you're really out of your mind, and respond with, thanks for pointing that out. I've heard that before. Saul needed people to be honest with him, but he didn't appreciate people being honest with him, and it proved hurtful to him. The man knew what he was when the evil spirit prevailed. The man knew what he was when the music from David's harp prevailed. He could not blame the enemy when he was defeated, for a way of victory was available to him. So what's your problem? Well, it's this evil spirit. Well, you know, all you gotta do is have the harp music. Well, then it's not the evil spirit's fault if Saul is in a mind to kill David with a javelin. Saul is of a mind to have his own son put to death for stopping for lunch during a military conflict. Saul does some crazy things if you read about it in the Bible, if you read his story. But he never is allowed by God to blame the evil spirit, because he could have had the music playing to subdue the evil spirit. So ultimately it was on Saul. And though the man was oppressed owing to the judgment of God because of his past sins, we see that God was still merciful toward him in providing a path to conquest if Saul would only take it. All right, turn your Bible to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Anybody here saved this morning?
Amen.
If you are saved, whether you know it or not, God has given you the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 15 and verse number 13, Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now I'm going to talk about you, and I'm going to talk about me, so I'm not singling you out. I'm including myself in this, but I'm going to tell you something. Believing is supposed to carry with it full, round-the-clock joy. And most of you don't have that. Believing is supposed to carry with it full and round-the-clock peace. And most believers don't have that. And believing is supposed to carry with it full, round-the-clock hope. And I don't know many Christians who have that in their lives. Here's what I believe. I believe every one of us is oppressed, but not by an unclean, satanic, outside spirit, by what the Bible calls the flesh. And though we have the power, the gifts, and the opportunity to live like kings, many an hour in the living room, in the car, on the job, in our thoughts, we are possessed and overcome by a hurtful spirit, an evil spirit, a harmful spirit. Say, preacher, I'm not an adulterer. I wouldn't put my hands on a woman to whom I'm not married. Preacher, I'm not a thief. I wouldn't take anybody's property. People, I'm not a murderer. I haven't killed anybody. Full joy, full peace, full hope. That's the Christian life. But we would have to admit this morning that most of us settle for sometimes joy and sometimes peace and sometimes hope and a lot of seasons in between when we are troubled by an evil spirit that provokes us to think and act in ways that are not appropriate. Does it not become evident to those round about us, husband, wife, children, parents, co-workers, Christian friends, when that evil spirit has a hold of us, it's hard to be hid. It changes our language. It changes our conduct. It changes our attitude. It changes our temperament. It is not love, joy, peace, Holy Ghost controlling power, but something that really resembles a madman. How can a Christian use those words? How can a Christian speak in that tone? How can a Christian act in that manner? How can a Christian have so much Bible truth about the coming of the Lord and be so filled with despair about what men are doing in the world? What is this but an evil spirit inside us, troubling us and causing us to live far below what's available to us? In both cases, Saul and ourselves, the streams of disobedience flow from within us. We have the Holy Spirit to refresh our heart and mind and to correct our conduct whenever we come under its peaceful influence. When we're troubled by the flesh, it's our duty to call for the aid of the Holy Ghost. Saul had David's harp at his command. David couldn't barge in. He had to be bidden by Saul. You have, I'm not speaking out of line, I'm speaking biblically, you have the Holy Ghost at your beck and call. But he will not barge in where he's not welcome. Call for the harp. Call for the Holy Ghost. tempted to lose my temper. I'm tempted to curse and swear. I'm tempted to be down and out instead of rejoicing on the mountaintop. I'm tempted to twist the truth. What are you going to do? Act like Saul with no David? Or act like Saul as David strums upon his harp? What are you going to do? Act like God never gave you the Holy Spirit? Or call for Him to come and get your mind where it's supposed to be, get your heart where it's supposed to be, make you what you are under God's influence, not the influence of the flesh. Amen. Only by the Holy Spirit's power can our tranquility be upheld. We may live without availing ourselves of the Spirit's power, without joy, without peace. We may delay calling for help and suffer needlessly. Or we may cry out at once for the Holy Spirit's help and have our sanity restored immediately. Like Saul with the harp, knowing that the Holy Spirit will calm our troubled soul, the proper course of action wouldn't be to keep Him at a distance until things got so out of control we were desperate, but to keep Him right at hand, and the first sign of discontentment, the first sign of fear, the first sign of inappropriate thought or conduct, play! Play! Another song, please. The Bible speaks of quenching the Holy Spirit. The Bible speaks of grieving the Holy Spirit. You say, preacher, what could that mean? It could mean that the Holy Ghost is sitting in a side room somewhere with the harp leaning against the wall while we go crazy in our marriage and crazy in our attitudes and crazy in our doubts and fears and put our hands on things we shouldn't touch and set our minds on things we shouldn't have our minds on. And the Holy Ghost is sitting all the while saying, I got a song for that. I got a tune for that. It's all right. It's not bad enough yet. It's okay. Everything's not in ruins yet. I'll call you if I need you. What if as soon as we woke up in the morning, we turned on the harp like we turn on the media? What if first thing in the morning, we turned on the Holy Ghost harp instead of some secular music? What if we didn't wait until things were about to unravel? Kept that Holy Ghost harp close by. Like Saul, I would say that each of us needs to make an honest evaluation of our circumstance. Listen humbly to godly ministers and friends with which we have surrounded ourselves who see the influence the old man, the flesh, has upon us. And then act consistently in a way that will keep us sane and sober. What a rare thing for a woman to be married to a man or a man to be married to a woman where each of them are free to say, you know, you shouldn't be acting like that. And the response be, appreciate you pointing that out. I really don't want to live in a way as to be a crazy Saul. What an odd thing that people who would admit, give them a quiz, I am a sinner, I have sin problems in my life, I've got a long way to go, I need help, who come to church and dare the preacher to agree with them. You know what Saul needed? He just needed somebody to say, put an arm around his shoulder and say, King, old buddy, old pal, it's time for the harp. And not view that as a threat or an insult. Look at what you have here. brothers and sisters in Christ who love you in spite of you. Love me in spite of me. I know not everything about you, but enough about you to treat you one way or the other. You have ministers who open the Bible and tell you the truth and the Word of God. Why go on in the madness of the flesh when we have such an opportunity to be reminded? Time for a little tune. Time for a little harp music. Don't be offended. Be blessed. Knowing that what dwells in our flesh, the Bible says, is no good thing, but a lustful rebel spirit that delights to bring about death. We should hate this enemy within. We should hate the actions it too often produces enough to consistently receive needed grace from the indwelling Holy Spirit. Do you hate foul things that come out of your heart and through your mouth? Or do you excuse them? Do you hate cruel and angry and short-tempered responses? Or do you wish to control them? Do you hate not the sin, but the very lust for it and desire for it and temptation for it? God said, I gave you the Holy Ghost to play heaven's harp and keep all of that subdued so that it doesn't do the damage that it would if you just let, as the saying goes, nature run its course. Every mature Christian knows what he becomes when the flesh prevails. It's not good. Each experienced child of God knows what they can be when the Holy Spirit prevails. Not an excuse, not a casting of blame. But if I were a teenager struggling with rebellion, watching my mother rebel would hurt me. If I were a teenager struggling with rebellion and I watched my father resent and criticize every authority figure, it would hurt me. It would hurt me. What we need for our young people to see us singing here under the influence of the Holy Spirit and there under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Living with joy and kindness here under the influence of the Holy Spirit and living with joy and kindness there under the influence of the Holy Spirit. You don't want to invite your co-workers to come to church next Sunday to hear the gospel and have them say with wonder, you go to church? Who knew? And we would say, oh, he's a great guy. She's a great woman. And they would say, are we talking about the same person here? The reason it's easy to live as close to the Christian ideal as possible when we are here assembled together is because the harp is playing. You don't have to call for it. You don't have to even desire it. It's playing from the time you arrive until the time you leave. It is the order of service. It is the course of conduct to play the harp at the Bible Baptist Church. But keep the harp on in the car on the way home. Keep the harp on when you get to the house. Keep the harp on when you lie down at night and when you wake up in the morning. Don't make this be the place you go to hear a little harp music once a week. You have the holy harpist with you all the time. We cannot blame the enemy when we're defeated. For a way of escape and victory is available to us. Well, you know, I have this habit, but do you have the Holy Ghost? Well, you know, I have this natural tendency, but do you have the Holy Ghost? It's funny, people say, well, you know, I'm Irish, you know, Irish have bad temper. I'm German, Germans have bad temper. You know, how about I'm human? Has nothing to do with your nationality, it has to do with Adam. We all have a bad temper, we all have a short fuse, we all have days when everything rubs us the wrong way. And if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit who is able, if you will call upon Him and listen to the music from His harp, to settle you right back down and make you able to function as a monarch. Praise the Lord. Though it's sin, Adam's sin and our own, that's resulted in the judgment of God upon every man, and though we have done many things in our lives to merit the chastening of the Lord, yet we see that He is still merciful toward us in providing a path to conquest should we choose to take it. Saul could be this great, noble man who could lead a nation, or he could be just absolutely cuckoo and a threat to everyone around him. And what made the difference was whether or not he called for the playing of the harp. And you can be, if you're saved, I'm telling you the truth, you can be a great father, a great mother, a great husband, a great wife, a great Christian, or you can be you. It just depends upon whether or not you're going to call for the harp. If you're saved, Bible reading, godly songs, sound preaching, devotion to church, Christian fellowship, actively serving the Savior, are all strings on David's harp. It's all part of the music as God has written it, as God has composed it. You don't have to be in church every service. You can lean the harp against the wall. You don't have to read the Bible every day. You can keep the harp in the corner. You don't have to be busy serving the Lord. You can be busy doing other things. And the Holy Spirit will sit in the chair with the harp by His side, waiting until things get bad enough for you to call for some music. But what a way to live. How about keep that song playing all day long, every day? That music will silence the enemy that lurks within us and enable us to live as God intended. Come to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation 1. Verse number 5 says, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us. Happy about that? Amen. And washed us from our sins in His own blood. Amen. Happy about that? Amen. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Loved us, washed His blood. How are we doing with that king part? Saul was king and a noble leader. Saul was king and a madman. What made the difference? Sometimes the harp was playing. Sometimes it was just Saul's thoughts. Sometimes the harp was playing. Sometimes it was just Saul by nature. How about you, brother? sister. Jesus loved you, washed you from his sins in his own blood, made you a monarch. Are you a noble, joyful, peaceful, hopeful king? Or are you Saul acting like he's out of his mind? What makes the difference? Holy Spirit, play your music in my heart. Holy Spirit, calm my troubled soul. Holy Spirit, bring these sins under your power. I know it's a Baptist church. We're not supposed to say Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost this many times in a service. But you need him to be a reality in your life. And you need to know how to beseech him before you do something hurtful again to people you love. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Quickly, immediately, call for David to play on that harp. Get that peace back in there. Get that joy back in there. Get that hope back in there before we do things we wish we hadn't done. We can live victoriously. Just call for the harp. Call for the harp. Heavenly Father, thank you for the words that you've given us in the Holy Bible. Thank you for the gift you've given us of your Spirit to help us. Help us, not with the world. The world is the least of our problems. To help us with ourselves. Please, God, please, may we not compel the Holy Spirit to sit idly, but may we call upon him to play sweet, powerful, scriptural music in our hearts and minds, that we might live lives of joy and peace and hope. We thank you in Jesus' name, and amen.